Charles, there are a lot of countries with nuclear capability. China would be probably number three, I would think, in the world. And they certainly have the ability to destroy many of our cities, kill millions of our people. But, of course, that would be a full-blown nuclear war. We would retaliate en masse, and I would think they couldn't think of it in any other way as suicidal. So even if, you know, the old, we can lose 10 to your one thing, we could still make it totally suicidal for them. We could destroy China so it would be unlivable for generations to come. What about the mad scenario? Mutual assured destruction. I mean, that it should have some effect on the Chinese.
Well, you know, here's a couple of points to go against it.
Okay.
Let's say the Chinese strike. You know, they go for Taiwan, they take out Los Angeles, Pearl Harbor, etc., cause multiple millions of casualties here.
Yes.
If we retaliate en masse, in other words, kill 600, 700, 800 million people in one single strike, we may not actually stop the war. And the other issue I think that goes with that is we'd be retaliating against basically helpless civilians. And that's one of those political thoughts.
Well,
You know, the real key, in fact, one of the real deterrents has not been, oh, we'll blow all of your cities up. It's, we'll come after you, and we're talking to the Chinese leadership in particular.
We would. I mean, we would hit their command and control and military first, and the other targets, of course, would be secondary, but it's part of the threat.
Well, you see, again, that's where we get into this scenario. If we attempt to retaliate on their population, when you're looking at 1.5 billion people, they'd be perfectly happy to trade one for one, or even two for one, or three for one.
Yeah, but that might not be the threat. What I'm saying is the threat might be, we will utterly turn you to blinking glass. You know,
that's... Well, if we do that, then we're also going to be left breathing those remains.
That's a fact.
Correct. You know, what we're talking about here is, say, 10 to 15 nuclear weapons used in theater and out of theater. Now, you know, we're going back to this, is it limited or is it mutually assured destruction? If they strike with 10 to 15, would we retaliate and completely devastate their country, even if it ends up killing most of us in the process?
Well, let's
probably not.
Let's examine the question, and let's use our current president, all right, as an example, because that's reality. We have George Bush in office right now. If Los Angeles were destroyed, along with Honolulu or the Hawaiian Islands in general, or anything along those lines, one of our major cities were destroyed by an identifiable foreign power, like China, then you are in nuclear war. And how could George Bush make any other decision, explain that to me, other than complete retaliatory decimation of China? How could he make any other political decision?
All right. If he goes with option A, waste them all,
yeah,
you're not getting the guys dug in the holes. Okay, we're not taking out the PLA.
I don't know. I mean, we've got big, bad nukes that are designed to go
underground. We've got a big arsenal, but what we're talking about is let's take out their cities, okay? If you go that route, all you're doing is doing exactly what the Chinese military leadership would like you to do. If, on the other hand, you go with option B, which is precise strikes, some of them probably non-nuclear, aimed strictly at their leadership, that's precisely the thing they fear the most.
I don't think the American people would regard that as a sufficient retaliation for taking out, let's say, Los Angeles.
That's correct. But you, again, you know, what we're talking about here is, would you prefer the satisfactory result of, say, killing 20 or 30 or 40 million innocent people who have not really done anything, or would you prefer to take out the military command structure, perhaps killing no more than 10 or 15,000 and suddenly finding their country out of the war?
Well, I suppose any nuclear war would have its opening salvos, which would be intended to be limited, perhaps in the manner you just described. But most scenarios have it going from that to, for various reasons we could discuss, all-out nuclear war very quickly.
Yeah, and again, having played these games, you got to remember I set up and erected war games for the military during the 80s, simulating both conventional as well as thermonuclear and biological and chemical war.
Yes.
One of the very first problems that we found was that our military commanders were extremely uncomfortable at fighting nuclear war. They had a tendency to fry more of their own systems than the opposition in some cases.
Well, to that I would say good. I hope everybody is very nervous about the prospect of nuclear war.
Precisely. On the other hand, when you're looking at an opponent, in this case, like the Chinese, Generals Yang Gengkai. General Yang was number two commander, is the number two commander in the Chinese military. He made a very open statement that if we got in their way over Taiwan, that they would be perfectly willing to vaporize Los Angeles.
I recall that.
Now, the kick to this is General Yang was promoted after he made that statement. He is now head of Chinese military intelligence.
Hmm.
So the twist to that is the absolute doctrine that we're talking about. China's a very big country. They believe they could absorb our blow. Even though you and I, looking at 1,000 ballistic missiles sitting in our holes over here, know full well that we could basically turn China into the dark side of the moon, they, on the other hand, are fully aware that we would be politically inclined not to do that, especially if they used one or two in an opening salvo.